Dave answers your questions about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petso Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petso, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Petso Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Petso.
Special edition of Money Matters. I'm going to be calling in the second hour, so I just had a couple of things. I just wanted to teach. I just want to do a big education segment, and I'm continuing to get so many calls on annuities, so many emails on annuities. You know, for example, Dave, what is wrong with buying something that has an underlying guarantee that you can't lose, but you get to participate in market returns? That, of course, isn't an annuity. And so I wanted to address in detail what's wrong. Not just, it's just bad. It's bad. So I know we've done this, and we'll keep doing it, because they're everywhere. Dinner seminars, that's what they are. Excuse me, not necessarily, they're not just annuities. They're an annuity you can't get out of, and or a trust that you don't need. That's what dinner seminars are. Buy a dinner, and we will pitch and pitch and pitch and pitch a product. We're not going to teach. We're going to pitch. Isn't that really what we kind of hide behind when we go run off to get a free dinner? Isn't that where we're hiding behind? Is it we're getting information? We're getting a pitch. Not information. Not information. So I want to talk about that and address that. And then later on in this hour, again, I want to talk about some reflections personally and on what has this past year. You know, the markets are moving interestingly, to say the least, right? We had the S&P 500 do very well, and the rest of the world and the rest of the indices, including small caps, do very poorly or not very well. And so most people's portfolios and the global managers most global managers were down barely up, okay? They all were. So what happened last year? Was it a pause? Or did everybody fall off a truck, hit their head, and decide just to invest in all the really bad stuff, right? So I want to talk about that and address that as well. So, and also, as one final teaching bit, I want to talk a little bit about interest rates because of the, quotes, inevitability of them rising and the overall negativity. I'm going to start there with the overall negativity, because that's why people are driven to seminars. They don't have any answer, right? They're driven to a seminar with some kind of enticement of, you know, your income will grow by 10% a year guaranteed first year. What does that mean? Well, that's the income guarantee. That's not your money that you could actually extract from the contract. It won't be up 10% per year. So let's run down a couple of different ones. We've got basically on the annuity side, and this is a question that comes up all the time. Dave, why can't I go buy one of these equity indexed annuities that is a fixed annuity and guaranteed? Okay? That's the first kind. There are actually a couple other kinds that I'm looking at here, and they're called variable annuities. Okay, and so we can actually look at how they've done, right? But let's go with the equity index annuities, because that's predominantly what's sold to you as an end-all, be-all. And why do people buy that? Because they want to believe that there is Santa Claus. That you can have stock market returns without risk. You don't really believe that. I know you don't. But you want to. And why do you want to? Why do we want to so badly believe that? And it's because we're living in fear. fear that the market's going to go down. The market does go down sometimes. We have actually really bad corrections in the market. So I'm going to look at, during a period of time where we've had very severe market corrections, how have equity index annuities actually done during that time, holding up their promise of not having losses and having stock market returns. And there's a couple different avenues, and we'll talk about those. But before we even get there, you have to ask yourself, why do I even want to have that conversation with somebody when I know they're lying? Okay, I mean, I know. My grandmother, who maybe like went through eighth grade and has no concept of the financial world, knew I could not have stock market returns without risk. She knew that. You know that. Because we know there is no such thing as a free lunch, or in this case, a free dinner seminar. It's a pitch. And whether it's a dinner seminar or a radio program, it's a pitch. If something is pitching a product, is that information or a pitch? It's a pitch. That's all it is. I'm going to go pimp my product over here. That's what I'm doing. That's not gathering information for people. I'm going to sell them on my product as the greatest solution since sliced bread. So when we look at them and we understand what happens and why do I have this crusade against annuities? Well, why don't I just embrace them? Is really, let's reverse the question. Let's flip the coin over and look at the other side. Why don't I just embrace them? You know, if I'm just selling stocks or something over here, and so I'm going to go talk my book. I've heard people say that before, but I don't hear it much anymore. After 25 years of educating about the markets, I'm not selling a product. I get paid the same in a fee-based account whether we use bonds, whether we use stocks, whether we use CDs, whether we use an annuity. Oh, actually, excuse me, slide it back. We get paid a lot more if I would use an annuity. I'm looking at one right now. This one was put into effect in 2002. That's a pretty good time. Rolls all the way through the financial crisis, but a good time. Can you imagine if you invested at the end of 2002? Right, remember, we had the 2000 through 02 financial crisis, which ended in November of 02. So actually, get this. This product was issued. This annuity was issued in 2002. And no, I'm not going to give names and stuff because we can't. I want this to be compliant, right? We're compliant with the rules. Okay? So you look at this product and you say, wow, what an incredible deal. Now, why wouldn't I want to do this? Because, you see, there's a 14-year surrender charge, which tells you an awful lot about what the commission was. So the commission is like 10%. So since we, on average, at our firm charge less than 1%, which includes all the platform fees and all the stuff inside, right? I mean, it's just like all in, right? So let's just call it on average, I don't know, 0.75. So we have an average 0.75. So if somebody invested their money with us for like 15 years, then I would eventually get as much as I would just putting the money in this product. And during that entire time, of course, we'd have to actually work, not put it in the product and walk away. So 14-year surrender charge on this. The amount of money put into the product, okay, was $132,000. Now, this is a rampaging bull market since 2002. Remember, we had the financial collapse, the tech bubble collapse, and then at the end of 02, it bottomed. That's exactly when this money went in. The surrender value of the contract is $135,000. 135. 135,000. Now, with the little bit of withdrawal they took out, there was 12,000 taken out. That means that the contract during a raging bull market that is up hundreds of percent managed to grow 30%. 30 total. 30 total. But I thought I participated with the market. I thought I participated with the market. That's what everybody thinks. They participate with the market. I don't know how you could say that in something that didn't that did 30% as the market went up fivefold. 500% since the bottom of the market in 2002. And by the way, well, it isn't working, so could we get out? You can't get out. 14 years of surrender charges. The surrender charge on this doesn't even go away until the end of next year. Trapped in a product that won't work. Here's one here. This is a great example of, hey, well, what if you invested? Can you imagine if you bought the S&P 500 at, like, just the wrong time? How about the beginning of 2008? Is that wrong enough for you? Well, that'd be perfect for this type of product, wouldn't it? So if you put your money in during the greatest financial collapse of your life, and it's guaranteed to not fall, isn't that awesome? I mean, it is. It really. Imagine that. There couldn't be anything more perfect timing-wise for this product. And here's another famous one right here, where if you put it in, and it didn't go down. That's the cool thing. It did not go down. But it also didn't come back up much. Because in total, for the last now 6 full years, and remember, you're trapped into this one. We checked. It's only 10 years. You're only trapped in for 10 years. But you can't get out. Your return today now, without the surrender charge, is a whopping 16% total. Total. Total 16%. It's over 70% with the S&P, even though it went down before it recovered. I know logic doesn't work sometimes. I don't. It's not like I can just tell people. Please just hear me out on this. I can't just tell people. I have every reason under the sun, financially, work wise. Just put it in the product. We're done. We don't even need to talk to you for the next 10 years. It's all on cruise control. There's nothing else to do. So I don't have to work, and I can take, and we can make over $10 million if we put only half of our client money there. I'm sorry, 25% of our client money there. That's all. That's all. Why wouldn't we do that? It seems to not be enough to keep people from saying, yeah, but, what about this product over here? Okay? So, can annuities be used? Sometimes. Very few. And they're way oversold. Here's another one right here, very famous variable annuity. You have to be careful with them as well. Well, I'm right in the market. I mean, they state their costs. At least they're not deceptive. Okay? Or are they? This one is called the daily step up. I'm not going to say what company it is, but they're going to step up daily. So if the market goes up, you get to keep stepping up for the income guarantee. Every single day, you're participating in the market. Or are you? Huh. Let's take a look at a product that was invested in 2010. 2010, well, we already know the market's gone up. So how's this one doing? $150,000 was put in 2010. It's worth $158,000 today. in a market that since the beginning of 2010 has doubled. Doubled. So the 150 should be worth, oh, I know there's some fees, so let's just call it 250, not a dead double. I mean, that's really a lot of fees. I mean, that's a lot. It's $158,000 without the surrender charge, which means with a surrender charge, if you really needed money and you took it out, you would actually, in an account that theoretically would have doubled because it's invested in the market, only get back your money. Why? Oh, they have this thing called an algorithm. That's a fancy way of saying that the insurance company that underwrites this is going to pull your money out of the market and leave it out. Put it in bonds. Not invest it. Deceptive? Yeah, it ought to be illegal. It really should. It really should. It has no chance of winning. None. So can you ever buy an annuity? I don't know. I think the safest answer is no. There is one I know of that is really quite good. There are some, but when you're talking about the income guarantees, I would just say, stay away. When there's only one, that I know of, that is honest, doesn't pull you out of the market, that actually you can participate. I mean, there's cost to it. But at least they're up front. Here's the cost. I just think we have to stop pretending that investments can, that you can have market returns without risk. That there really is some kind of magic fairy dust that we can wave over some high commission product. That somebody can make 10% or more and walk away. And an insurance company is going to be profitable, but guarantee your returns, and that is going to go well for you? How? How can it with all those costs? All those lies. How can it? I mean, you know, your own common sense knows it can't be true. But I'm scared of the market. I got it. Let's start there. Let's start with our honest fear of the market and address it. Let's not pretend you can be in the market and not put up with volatility. It's a fact. It's a fact. And with all the volatility we've had starting off this year, come on. You don't think that people are going to juice up the seminar wagon again with fear? Of course. Of course. Now, I want you to have one more number. I know numbers are hard. But common sense just doesn't seem to get the message across because I get so many questions. So many comments. Clients will call up and go, I really think I want one of these equity indexed annuities. Really? Really, the best educated people financially outside of the industry itself are my clients. They are. They're smart. They're savvy. They get it. And they're asking those questions. That's how I know how rampant it is. And then I keep getting questions, not just from them, getting emails from you generally. Why not? What's wrong with this product? Okay? The costs are too high. They're not disclosed. And common sense would be, well, why wouldn't Dave go make $10 million? I think that's a good point. That probably would work for me. But it doesn't, because then there's other answers. Well, how can I have market returns without risk? That doesn't make any sense. I know. That's what I would call common sense, which apparently is not very common. It's not. But fear is very common, and fear sells. Markets are volatile. Wall Street comes up with all kinds of products, and insurance companies certainly do. And you're stuck. Your money's stuck. So I want to give you one more math before we take our break here. One more little bit of math. So because they always focus on this big number of income, right? The income guarantee for life. So even if you can't get to your money, and you can't, for years and years and years and years, or if the it doesn't just perform as well as, you know, we kind of hope, that market return without market risk thing we've talked about. And I gave you two great examples of it. Perfect timing for these two examples. Perfect. Perfect timing to hit a home run. No home run. Sorry. Because you can't win. You can't lose, but you can't win. And then we have the other one that's, oh my gosh, perfect timing because we're about to get crushed in the market. But that's all right because we've got this guarantee, so it won't go down. But apparently it won't come back either because it performs worse. Here's one more. That's okay because we've got the income thingy on the side. And it's guaranteed to, like, if I put $100,000 in, it's guaranteed to be worth $200,000 in 10 years. I'm all over that. I mean, that's fine. And then I'll draw income for life, 5% for life. I mean, that's awesome. Because that 5% for life is like 10% on what I put in. That's great. How can I miss? Let's do the math. Shall we? You can go to PetzelFinancial.com. We have financial calculators there. Plug it in. Go to anywhere. Just type in calculator on the internet if you don't have an HP 12C in front of you or you believe what I'm telling you. But I don't want you to believe what I'm telling you. I want you to run your numbers. Run them. Because that's how you have the impact of saying, whoa, this can't work. So we're hanging our hat on the income guarantee. And the income guarantee is we're going to double your money in 10 years. And then we're going to draw 5% of that for life. What does that look like if I should be fortunate enough to live another 30 years? Which is what I just said, right? We're going to draw it for life. 5% per year means I got all of that growth out. Because if I only live for 10 years, my goodness, what's the point? I know it. I know I lose that. $100,000, growing to $20,000, we take out $10,000 a year beginning in the 10th year. So our first simple math says, well, the income amount doubled. That's rule 72 says it did 7.2%. Correct. But you can't have that money. Now we draw 5% on that for life. If you live 30 years. If you live 30 years. Your rate of return is 3.5. That's it. 3.5. If you live 30 years. If you don't live 30, well, you're right. It keeps going down from there. Fear sells. We'll talk for just a couple more minutes after the first break. Again, you're listening to a recording here. The questions that I'm getting all the time. One. On the annuities. We'll talk a little bit later about why last year was so tough, a year for asset managers. The questions that we're getting today, I want to address in a big education segment, if you will, and I'll be live in the second hour to take your questions and follow-up questions for this. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzel. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436-KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
Hello and welcome back to Money Matters. I'm Dave Petzo, and I just want to finish up a couple thoughts here in our education segment on annuities, and then we're going to rotate on into several other, if you will, questions, concerns, just the consistency of what people are asking now. So I wanted to take time to have a big education segment that people could go back and refer to if, in fact, that is their question. Okay? So, and then in the second hour, I'll be here live to take your questions. All right? So, anyway, I want to finish up this segment real quick. on annuities. Remember, it's just, it really is a common sense. I gave you a lot of numbers. And if you want those numbers back, I'm happy to share them. Just give our office a call, 853-2000. You can have all of this data. Happy to. All we have to do is blacken out the people's names. Boom. It's yours. You can see when the contract was taken out. These are the real statements. This isn't hypothetical. These are real statements at precisely the right times. Also, on our website, if you want to go there, you can look at them. Look at the investigation by Dateline a few years back of the sales tactics and the lies on these annuities. They're there. They did about 8 segments on how seniors are so abused in this. Why is this allowed? This is the frustration for me, too. Every department of insurance across the country is supposed to govern these. Why? I don't know. It's a financial product, and the rules, and they should be tough. They are tough, tough, tough on the security side. The insurance companies will be sued if they were insurance or not, if they were classified not as insurance products, where we can be deceptive in our sales material, we can be non-disclosing on what actually happens. You can't do that. Certified financial planners don't sell these products because they can't. They are bound. They can, but they'll lose their CFP designation. Because we're bound to disclose everything, including the ridiculously high compensation. And the fact of the things we've talked about before, that it won't work. All those things have to be disclosed. Yeah, somehow, at the 11th hour, all of this was going to be pushed through where insurance companies had to also comply on these products with the securities laws. Now, I don't know why they wouldn't want to comply, do you? Who wouldn't want to comply and just be a good guy? Like, you know, who wouldn't want to be a Boy Scout and disclose all that is there? Well, they didn't want to. So they got to put in a bill and it got killed. It'll come up again someday. I assure you. I assure you it will. But for right now, these products are illegal. Buyer beware. And the insurance department, I'm sorry, but they're just impotent. They don't do anything. They're not protecting seniors against this kind of abuse. This is who's targeted as seniors on these. Use your common sense. We all know there is no such thing as a free lunch. That if there's a high commission, there's the wrong kind of incentive to be pushing people into it. And it can't work because that money comes out of the money I put in. No matter what they say. Oh, you don't have to pay. You don't have to pay. These guys pay me. The insurance company pays me. You don't have to pay. Where do you think the money comes from? It comes from the product that you just bought. Buyer beware. So, as a buyer beware right now, my recommendation, stay away. You just can't go to dinner seminars anyway. You can't. They're pimping products. You know they are. There is no such thing as a free lunch. Your grandmother knew that, and you had more school than she did. Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't do it. You know better. You totally know better. If you have any follow-up questions, you want to see this data, feel free to give us a call. But the reality is this. It's all common sense. Real advisors don't use these products, and we really have a lot of financial incentive to do so. But we won't do it. Why? Because I don't want money. Why? Why not? Every incentive in the world to do it, won't do it. It's fear. It's sold by fear. Don't do it. You don't make wise decisions when you come from a place of fear. I'm going to talk more about that after Fox News. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. Idaho's Place to Talk. Idaho's Place to Talk.
Hello and welcome to Money Matters. Thank you for joining us. This is a special recording. This is my expanded version of our weekly education segment, dealing with some of the questions that I get, concerns also, all the time. What is on people's minds? And so I wanted to just kind of dive into a bunch of them. We already beat to death in the annuities, right? Okay. All right, and dinner seminars and all that nonsense, right? We did that. I want to touch on, which is part of that too, I know, and I did touch on it before, but why are people so fearful? These are the questions I'm getting a lot of these days. What do you think about, let's toss that, like House Bill 2422, whatever it was last year, right? What do you think about the currency situation? What do you think about gold? What do I think about gold? It's pretty. Girls like it. You're probably going to get at least a hug and a kiss if you give somebody gold. That's what I think of it. I don't think it produces anything. It doesn't produce any income. What do I think about it? What I think is people are living in a world of fear. They're casing the question of what do you think about some bizarro thing. What do you think will happen when they expand QE? They quit QE. Well, what do you think will happen when the Federal Reserve leaves? They left. Hello? They're gone. What are you reading? You're reading people whose bias is we need to scare the socks off people. Not their bias, it's their job. That's their entire, driving force in life, is to scare people into going to their newsletter blog, which is lined by gold ads. Watch this video. The special CIA agent over here. Like, yeah, this 25-year CIA agent. Wow, no kidding. I can't believe anybody's been there that long. Oh, there's been a million people retired from the CIA? No kidding. But this guy's special. Of course, you never heard of him. That's all right. And then, of course, we've got people like Peter Schiff. Peter Schiff, this is great. Mr. Stopped Watch, I'm going to start calling. Mr. Stopped Watch, who was right once and has been wrong and crushingly wrong, devastatingly wrong. If you followed his advice, you're out of money. Long time ago. Continues to be quoted widely. All the time. So we're going to have QE4, he says. I don't know where he gets that, but okay. So we're going to have QE4 and gold's going to the moon. That was today's quote. Seriously, saw it. I saw it. Not on his, just out there. Like Yahoo Finance. So if you're negative and you're wrong, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. It's okay if you're negative and wrong. But if you're optimistic and wrong, short term, even though long term it's always been right, the world has been abundant, we bounce back from whatever tragedies we have, has always been true, that's really not, I mean, nobody wants to listen to that. Here's the other problem. If it doesn't bleed, it doesn't lead. That is an old, of course, newspaper statement. But it's certainly true. Just look at the headlines all across. If it's not somebody sleeping with somebody, or what do you think about that ugly dress you wore at that particular thing? Are you kidding me? What about some meatheads we listen to this nonsense? Really, what a bunch of meatheads. That I'm more interested in what kind of a dress that somebody wore at some kind of award show, and that she just got dumped by, you know, Joey, who stars in whatever. Seriously, that's all we talk about. It's all we know. Or the world is coming to an end based on nonsense. Fear sells. Fear sells you to read the blog, to click that video. That or sex, because usually it's got some kind of hot-looking girl there that we're going to click on this special French video or whatever. Seriously, how dumb we are. Fear sells. Look, I don't mind the questions. I don't mean to. I'm not being mean about it. I'm not. I'm just saying some of this is really common sense. Why do we read and listen to the same doomsday people for decades. Remember the guy named Howard Ruff? Does anybody? I don't know. I am dating myself big time. Howard Ruff. He used to have a newsletter called The Ruff House. He was so wrong. I mean, a dollar invested with him for, you know, the couple decades that he was writing newsletters. He was. He was continuing to sell newsletters. He was getting lots of press. A dollar turned into less than a nickel. During, yeah, a raging bull market, I know. That only, yeah, but what about after inflation? Okay, after inflation, the nickel you have left with this guy is worth 3 cents. The $15 is only worth 10 out of your dollar that you put in the market. I know, but the market's phony. That's the other thing. So finally, let me address this. It's all phony. It's all Fed. And now we have QE Europe. Here we go again. Otherwise, the market would be what? I don't know. What, you make up a number. Let's just make up a number. It would be at 6,650. After my carefully articulated calculations on the Doomsday website, never been right. Everything else is phony. I'm not wrong. It's because it's phony. Everything I said was correct and analytically smart and correct. Other than they stepped in and did this, did that. You guys came in over here. Otherwise, I would have been right. Here's the reality. When I started in the industry, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was at 850. On its way down to 750, not 7,500, 750. Where it bottomed. And it went to 3,000, and then we had a horrific sell-off. Like we never have had those before. And it fell back to a couple thousand. Where it rallied again. Past 3, past 4, and all the people out there were, you know, they remember the Elliott wave theory? Many call it the idiot wave theory, but that's all right. That's just being mean, except that they kept people out of the market. Out, 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 because it's not going to go back to 2,000. It's going to go to 600. That's all right. If you're negative, it's okay. Be wrong all you want. They'll come ask you for another quote on a bad market day or a bad market month. And if you have a bad market year, woo-hoo, go, baby, go. The bulls are out dancing in the street, dancing on the graves. They are the winner, winner, chicken dinner. They are all over it because they're right like a stopped watch. Tell me, is it right to be invested in the market for the 35 years I've been in the business from 850 falling back to 750, watching inflation at double digit, peaking interest rates at 21.5, Jimmy Carter finally leaves office, devastating recessions, real estate plunges, resolution trust companies. Remember that? Wars. The dissolving of the Soviet Union, which we knew would just release all those nukes all over the world. Terror attacks. I know it's worse now. I know it's much worse now. A market bubble that goes down 50%. Let's do it again in less than 10 years. Let's knock it down 10% again. I know, and let's throw on top of that a meltdown in real estate. Dow Jones Industrial Average, I'm going to just kind of pop it on down a few hundred points, is at 17,000. Tell me, do you want to be a stopped watch and be right for brief periods? Or would it have been better to be from 850 and a 20-fold increase? 20-fold. By the way, you know what gold was then? $800 an ounce when I started in the business. Nominally, we're at what, 1,200, 1,300? Up 50%. Not 2,000%. Owning the great corporations of the world. Not a pretty brick. What are we afraid of? Why? I don't know about House Bill 22, whatever. I don't know about the CIA guy. I don't know about QE4. I don't know what's going to happen in Europe. I don't know. I do know that living in fear is incredibly costly. And frankly, you're a bore. We'll be right back with our final segment.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello and welcome to Money Matters. This is a special recording, and here in just, you know, right after Fox News here, at the top of the hour, I'll be live. Love to hear your comments, questions, follow-up questions that you have to any of the things. What we've really done here is talk about the things that I keep getting questions on, right? Annuities. What about this, that thing that's all wrong in the world, right? And the Internet throws it at us 24-7. The news, 24-7. I know. It's impossible. So we really do have to pull away, right? Okay, here. I want the final segment. It is really, I touched on this before. In fact, it's out there on our website. Go see it if you want for a longer dissertation. But why are my accounts not doing as well as the market? And remember, I can't go through all that. There's no reason to. We just did recently in our education segment. Okay? So you can go find that on the website. We've got all those podcasts there. But I want to, again, reiterate this. When you're investing diversified and global, we don't want to be thinking in terms of, well, how come my money isn't all over in X or Y or Z? Because that is always moving around. We all say that in the abstract. We're all sitting around discussing investments. I want to be diversified, balanced, and that, you know, and really in most market cycles, when the market is flat, down, up a little, you know, down a little, then I'm going to outperform with a diversified portfolio. But, man, when the market's straight up, I'm not going to. And now I wish all my money was where, right, in that other one. It's a natural human tendency. But remember this, the big-time global managers, and I can't name them all, but you know who they are. You know, X-Rock, X-Sax, all those, right, out there. All the, okay, so here's the three biggies out there, right?
County Kids Expo, a full day of fun interactive activities just for kids. Saturday, January 31st from 10 to 6 at the Ford Idaho Center. See face painters, clowns, magicians, jumpy toys and slides, bungee runs, and a pet exhibit area from Zanzo's. On two Corwin Ford stages, see dance performances, karate demonstrations, reptile adventures, and more.
Yo Gabba Gabba!
Meet Luno and Broby from Yo Gabba Gabba. They'll be available to pose for pictures with kids and families, so bring your camera. The third annual Canyon County Kids Expo, January 31st, 10 to 6 at Entrance 5 at the Ford Idaho Center with free parking. Thanks to Zamzos, Challenger Schools, and Select Health. Presented by All My Sons Moving and Storage. For tickets and more information, visit CanyonCountyKidsExpo.com. That's Canyon County Kids.
ROI on your URL.
Huh?
5,000 now, 5,000 on delivery in 90 days. No guarantees, void where prohibited. Once you sign the contract, we own you and your family for the next 10 years. Any questions?
What? Your business has no business online, if nobody can find your business online. But first, you gotta find the right business to help your business. Welcome to Town Square Interactive. Problem? Solve.
The jargon can be like learning another language, don't you think? Make it simple. Your business website needs SEO, search engine optimization, so that you can be found. There's a whole science behind it. And your third cousin once removed who's doing your website from their third bedroom usually is not equipped to keep up to date. You need professionals. Find out more. Call Ann at Town Square Media today, 275-8144.
Engage Global is a leader in micronutrient health supplements. Now you can get the same supplements developed for the U.S. military delivered right to your door. Backed by years of research and scientific study, micronutrient health supplements can boost your body's immune system and ability to fight oxidative stress. So you and your family can become as healthy as possible from the inside out. And now Engage Global can deliver it right to your door. Contact Ben Taylor at 936-4377 or visit isurvive.us. That's isurvive.us.
My son Aiden has asthma. Secondhand smoke has triggered his asthma so badly, he ended up in the emergency room and spent multiple nights in intensive care. Now he's on a whole bunch of medications. My tip to you is, don't be shy about telling people not to smoke around your kids.
Half of U.S. kids are exposed to secondhand smoke. If you or someone you know wants help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
And thank you for joining us. Hour number two of Money Matters upcoming. And, of course, these are my opinions. And my opinions only. Not the radio station here. Not at all. Not our broker-dealer. If we talk about any stocks or sectors or what have you, those are things that you and I are having a discussion on. It's not something you should buy or sell. So those are just incidental to an example, not something that we should be jumping in and out of. And, of course, I don't believe at all that that is any way for people to manage their portfolios, is to grab one singular little idea that floats around out there and pretend that that's some kind of a doing your homework, right? Hey, we are live, and I hope you enjoyed the last hour. I wanted to, again, just talk. I'm down here at a conference. I'm down here at the TD conference. And phenomenal leadership discussions. I mean, just absolutely incredible. Leon Panetta gave the keynote on the first day, and I'll touch on that just a little bit. Yeah, it's a little political, but not just this general lack of leadership. And that is political. That is the problem. But we'll touch on that a little bit later. But also, obviously, just immersed in discussions, finances, and so on. But there's also that big picture out there, and I wanted to touch on this just a little bit because it reminded me, and it that is Peter Diamandis, who is the author of Abundance, and a book that I quote often, and a book that was actually I was pointed towards and given. And by the way, Dr. A, if you're out there, I would love to visit with you. I just have no idea how to get a hold of you. So I really would like to, if you happen to hear this, please get a hold of me. And that's actually all I know of who you are. Anyway, one of our listeners had sent that to me with a very kind note a couple of years ago. And I found the book more than a little fascinating. And it just spoke to me. It spoke to me in a way that was continues to encourage you in your thought process. The thought process for me being that the world is abundant, that we live in the greatest time ever. And there's a funny thing about human beings, a very weird thing when you think about it, of how we figure out what's wrong, not what's right. It's a very natural thing. It's how we're wired, you know. It is how we're wired. But anyway, having him go through some of the new material, he's written a new book as well, but to go through the new material and some of the things that they're doing, he's one of the co-founders of a university called Singularity University in Silicon Valley, and of course, where you've got so many unbelievable companies. Access to what Google is doing. What are they on the cutting edge of? What are they spending money on? Is it cars that'll drive themselves? Things like that that are fascinating. You know, next generation technology, amazing breakthroughs. And I just thought I'd talk a little bit about that because, you know, the markets are chaotic enough. I mean, they're going to do their thing, right? They're going to go crazy. And I'm going to come on and I'm going to talk about how it's normal, and it's true. Markets are normally volatile. They're not normally don't do anything. They're normally volatile. But, you know, the news today hyperventilates about it. And I think this last month or so has been terribly volatile. But you've heard that. We've heard and we've talked about that the last few weeks. So maybe we'll talk about it if that's something you want to talk about at 580-KIDO. I certainly will. But I really wanted to use this opening monologue, if you will, and normally it would be our education segment, but I think this is kind of educational when we just stop and recognize our own biases to figure out what's wrong. And the human brain does do that very naturally. And it was a good idea when there were saber-toothed tigers in the jungle to always wonder what could go wrong, what little sound, what little movement, you should be ready because things actually did eat you. But to sit back and pretend that we don't get an emotional, literally, you know, hormonal reaction to this little box that continues to bombard us with what's wrong. And don't kid yourself, it's nothing new or news about it. There's nothing informative about it. It's all negative. It's what went wrong in the world today. What was abnormal and wrong? Not normal and wrong, abnormal and wrong. In a world of billions of people, what nut job strapped a bomb to himself? We'll be back in 30 seconds. In a world of billions of people, what politician stole from the people? We'll be back in 30 seconds. In a world of billions of people, what train, bus, or plane of the millions that went out today, what went wrong? We'll be back in 30 seconds to show you some blood-splattered scenes, to give you perspective, proper perspective, on the world you live in. And that's what we do. And we do it on the radio. We do it on TV. We do it on the internet constantly, when our brains are wired already to figure out what's wrong. We don't think about from the standpoint of what is this really doing to us? What is this doing to me? And how am I, as a human being, supposed to react to that? Just set it aside? Not yet let my natural human nature react to it? Extremely difficult. Let me just give you a couple of new data points. We've talked a little bit about some of these things before, but I think it's important. You know, it gives a great example, and I remember this from the book, but you talk about how we think. We think linear, and I've talked about that for years, the fact that we just A to B equals C, and we just think, we can't think outside of a box. We can't. It's not the way we're wired. And I'm sure, you know, there's some people, there's Einsteins, they think outside the box. The box doesn't have boundaries to them. It's different. They think differently than most human beings. But basically, we think linear, on a straight path. So you take 30 linear steps, and you've traveled approximately 30 meters. 30 meters. If you take 30 exponential steps, meaning it doubles, 1 and 2 and 4 and 8 and so on. Now, if you haven't done the math, you haven't seen the number lately, you won't know what that is. But 30 linear steps, exponential, 30 exponential steps is over a billion meters, 26 times around the planet. And it begins to understand that when you think about Moore's Law, when you think about technology doubling, the speed of technology doubling every 18 months, or is it 13 months, is it 12 months? And I think the thing that is incredible, and the thing I want to remind myself, and I mean that, about this, is that we all, me too, somehow think that as I look at my iPhone, I don't think it's going to get much better. I don't think my car is going to get much better. I don't think planes are going to get better. I don't think whatever it is you think, computers, I've already shrunk as much. The chips and the this and that. It's not going to get much faster, much better. But when you look at it and you think about it, how many years have we been saying that? As they've gotten better, faster. Constantly. Innovation continues. The great takeaway really there is, I tweeted this out, I think it was this one, that innovation isn't slowing down. It's speeding up. It's speeding up. So all the things that we think aren't going to get better, medicine is an insurmountable problem. Not at all. Not remotely. What happens when we have little microchips running around in our body diagnosing us, and then it sends a little flash to our cell phone? Hey, Dave, you probably better check in the hospital. You could be having a heart attack soon. Have a nice day. I mean, why do we think that that's some kind of a weird thing? They got this thing called the Zex Prize, and I find it fascinating. Right? What happens when you offer $10 or $15 million to the winning team for doing something extraordinary? Something that people thought you can't do. So that's something out of Star Trek. So the first X Prize was, do people remember? I barely remembered it, right? It was a private enterprise taking a spacecraft out and the same one back and out of our atmosphere and delivering it back safely. That was $10 million, right? And several hundred teams tried to do it. Well, they did it. One did, and they won. Well, the X Prize that they're doing now, today, 330 teams are competing for $15 million. Winner take all, if somebody does it, comes up with it. And do you all remember this? It was like on Star Trek, a little tricorder, where you kind of like wave it over a person, take a saliva sample, whatever, and it can check them instantly and diagnose hundreds of potential problems. Remember that? Dr. Bones, hey Bones, check this guy out. Yeah, he's an alien. He's a Vulcan. I don't know. Again, you know, all these things. Yeah. Star Trek. So within the next couple of months, we're going to have a tricorder. They're almost done. Pretty amazing, huh? I mean, things like this that are busting out, like, you know, technology is going to just stop. It never has. It's accelerating, and I find myself thinking in those terms. That, I don't know, you know, looking at this company, Apple, really, are they going to, is the phone going to get any better than this? I mean, how can they sell another 27 million units, right? Of what? Yeah, the iWatch won't work. Really? You sure of that? I'm not either. Yeah, it doesn't have any use. I don't know. I don't know what the apps are going to be. I just know they're going to knock my socks off. It may not be a I gotta have it thing. It may be too small for these older eyes. I don't know. But I do know that what it does and what its capabilities are going to be amazing. And I also know that it's just getting going because every year or two, the amount of apps will be exponential. The amount of things that it'll do will become exponential. And we'll take that for granted right after we go, wow, they're not going to get better, and boom, and then we take it for granted. Cars that drive themselves. Really, I don't doubt that at all. Shortly. They do it already. They just do it in parking lots. Do it in parking lots. They can do it. Now, does it mean human beings readily accept that fact right off the bat? Of course not. But it doesn't mean they won't do it and can't do it. Abundance. Solving our problems with technology. As soon as this world hits 1 billion people, Malthea said, right? Starve to death. Starve to death. That's how people have felt all the time. Why? Because we're human. And to sit that back and go, yeah, but, I know technology is tough. It's tough to embrace. It's tough to change who we are, what we understand, and be comfortable with it. But what is interesting is we are just totally terrified by it and then readily accept it. Hey, that's cool. What's terrifying about all of the medical equipment and all, right, that we can all benefit from? But the technology to be able to see through us and diagnose things is really quite off the charts remarkable, isn't it? It's pretty amazing. But when we think about that, how does that, okay, Pollyanna, what the heck does that have to do with investing? Don't you think that has everything to do with investing? Everything. Not just that companies are going to disappear that we take for granted are going to be there. And the pace of that change will be astronomical. If companies aren't reinventing themselves, they will be reinvented out of business by competitors. And competitors that people don't see anymore. Right? It's not the competitors over in Japan or Germany or wherever else. Third world countries. It's a guy in his garage that has access to the internet. The same stuff with 2-3 buddies that is going to annihilate the existing media with a weird thing like Facebook or Google. What we see isn't necessarily what's going to kill us usually, right? But what is amazing too, it's not just that people are probably going to live to be 150 years old before long. That's cool. But think about that. Think about all of the amazing changes. The planet's getting cleaner with more people on it. Does that make any sense? Does it make any sense that the Hudson River is clean when you couldn't walk next to it on a windy day when I was a kid? The earth is supposed to be pink by now. These are all technology. It's not because we don't use energy. We use it more cleanly. We use it more productively. We get more out of a barrel of oil than we ever have. And what's coming next, I don't know. But I want to invest in that. But to see the world as it's going to go away is wrong. Immersing yourself in news every day about what's wrong. It's wrong. It's kind of dumb. It really is. I think I'm going to go ahead and spend a whole bunch of my time getting depressed about stuff that really doesn't matter. There really isn't news. That's just going to be this constant drumbeat of bad. All right, one final thought. And I really have to go. I'm really way over. One final thought. I've said this many times, and I finally got to see some of the stats. The world is more at peace today than ever in human history. Sink your teeth into that. I know you don't believe it. It's fine. Don't believe it. Because you want to believe what your eyes see every 5 minutes. The airplane disappeared. For 2 weeks, all we talk about is an airplane disappearing. Seriously? Breaking news? Breaking news, the plane's still gone. Breaking news, it's still gone. Breaking news, let's talk to another guy that has no idea what the heck happened to the plane, but let's hear him speculate on what happened to the plane. Okay, that's what goes for news. That's what goes for breaking news. Exciting. The plane went down in the ocean, and we don't really know what happened. And thanks for tuning in. That really doesn't. Apparently, people want to hear over and over and over for 2 weeks that the plane is missing. If there is a missing plane, there is a bomb that goes off, there is a terrorist attack, it gets played over and over and over again in a world of billions of people. One nut job straps a bomb to his stupid butt, and he goes out and blows himself up, because he's a moron. He's a completely psychotic individual. And in this bizarre thing happens in a place where there are children. And we have to watch this over and over and over again till we're sure that the world is far more violent than it has been in human history. And that simply isn't true. Not at all. Not at all. But it's very hard to perceive that when that's all you see. Our nut jobs over and over in the news. And so when we think about that and recognize that, if we can, it's not that it's all happy. It's not that people are great. It's not that evil isn't going to exist in the world. But when there's so much social media, right? Doesn't it feel like there's a chance maybe that these guys aren't going to continue to necessarily get away with oppression, you know, the dictators and things like that, as easily, right? There is hope, if you will. But more importantly, there's great hope that we will continue to solve our problems, we will continue to grow, and that the world is truly abundant, and we need to embrace that, even though your human brain is trained to see what's wrong. We've got to take a quick break. Hey, give us a call. I'd love to visit with you. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's with Dave Petzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. And let's go ahead and go to the phones. Go to Jim in Boise. Jim, thanks for calling.
Morning again. How's it going, Dave?
Good, good.
I got to put in my two cents worth concerning our enslavement to technology. Mm-hmm. I would advise people, you know, technology is moving so quickly these days. I would advise people not to buy the latest piece of crap that corporations put out, you know. It may be useful for a month, maybe two, maybe three, and then it'll be useless crap. Then you'll buy another piece, a new and updated piece of crap, and pretty soon you'll be up your eyeballs in crap. Take that money and let the other poor dumb sucker buy the crap. Invest in the stock of the company and get rich.
Well, part of that is true. There's no doubt about that. These companies are continuing to grow like crazy.
But you mentioned the plane, and this is what gets me. Computers are running planes, and odds are pretty good, like the latest one, the Malaysian thing that went, you know, that when the computer stops flying that plane, the pilot has no idea how to save that plane. The pilot does not know what's wrong.
Well, I think they know how to fly, don't you, Jim?
They do, if they could fly it without the computer.
Well, they can. That's why they're the pilot. They can.
Yeah, but they're being replaced by the computer.
Well, I totally agree, and I think that there's actually probably some pretty strong evidence that the computer would do a better job flying. But it's going to be pretty hard. I'll tell you what, I would like to get on a plane with both a computer and a human being on there.
I would like just more of a human being. More of a human being that actually knows how to fly.
Well, they do. They do know how to fly. They do.
They do.
The computer isn't doing the landing. It's not doing the takeoff.
When the computer kicks off, you know, there's a million things that could be wrong. They don't know.
Well, they still need the instruments, Jim. I mean, it's not like you can look out the window and on a cloudy day and know how far you are from the ground.
No, but the computer can. The human factor is being replaced, and when the computer goes out, you're up a creek.
Right. Yeah. Well, it is, and we all know that from the technology. There's no question. Our office shuts down if the computer is off. Done.
Yep.
I mean, even our phones don't work. Right.
Yep.
So it is. There's no question about it. Technology. We're all wired together. You take it down. And that, without a question, Leon Panetta was one of the speakers. He talked about that being, in his mind, other than ISIS and the real, you know, the threat that everybody sees right in front of us, and the fact that we are leaderless because the president doesn't. He leads crisis to crisis. He doesn't lead. He just waits for the crisis and then blames the crisis for being a crisis. and doesn't actually try to address any crisis. But the cyber terrorism is what he sees as a significant threat to in the future.
Well, people are just unaware. They'll put the weirdest things on Facebook, and then, you know, maybe it's illegal, whatever. Or they get hacked into and wonder what happened. They've got no common sense anymore.
Yeah.
And so anyway. But technology, you know, it'd be nice if something could be invented, and then we could kick back for a little bit and actually enjoy the invention before it's new and updated.
Well, I understand. As it moves forward, and it is very hard for us to wrap our minds around. All the new technology is very difficult for us. It's so going so fast. I agree with you. I think it would be wonderful to just, like, take a time out. But it won't. It's accelerating. And in many ways, you don't want a timeout. You're not going to want a timeout in medical if you're dying of something. Or you could be. Or somebody you know is. You want them to keep going, and you want them at lightning speed to solve that problem. And that's really what
it's
all about.
Well, I've known several people that have gone to the medical establishment, gone through all sorts of tests, and nothing was found out what the cause of the problem. After millions of dollars, and after finally cancer was found in one of them, you know. So I don't exactly trust the medical staff. I mean, you know, they're more into bureaucracy and autocracy.
Well, there's a lot of that, but else at the same time, medicine is better than it used to be. And, what we're asking them to do is to be 100% accurate and never have a disease that they can't diagnose if they don't get right.
It's still kind of like, you know, you can relate the pilot to the doctor. Now, the doctor needs to have more hands-on and not just rely on tests that somebody else does.
Well, they do, but without the tests, how are you going to see inside the human body? You have no chance. You can't just magically put your fingers on somebody, although they do have witch doctors, I'm sure, somewhere that do that. But you understand what I mean. There's no way. It's a combination of people using technology, using testing, using different medical devices that are phenomenal. I mean, the human heart isn't kept, a pacemaker doesn't keep the human heart going because the human being's in there pushing a button every, you know, half second or whatever it is. It's a machine.
Yeah. But
it's a computer.
Well, you know, just don't, everybody thinks, I don't know, you know, all this technology is God's gift to everything, but we just need more human contact, for one thing. Remember, back in the old days, of course, way back, you had the local doctor. You knew the doctor knew you. He carried a black bag, and he'd make house calls, and he cared. That's the main thing, caring.
Right.
And I don't think they care because they don't know. You're just a number now. So.
Well, that's absolutely true. There's no question about that.
Anyway.
All right.
Be optimistic anyway.
All right. That's the point, isn't it? Hey, the world isn't ending. It's growing, and it's remarkable.
Well, the next
really
time I get on a plane, I'm gonna assume that the pilot actually has his hands on the controls.
Well, they do, at least for the next couple of years, Jim. But after that, I wouldn't be surprised. You have one pilot sitting in there, just in case the computer goes down.
Well, yeah. They used to have a pilot, co-pilot, navigator. Now they need a computer technician.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Well, they all are. They all are. It's a lot to fly a plane. It's a lot. There's a lot of stuff to do, even walking around a basic airplane. I don't know why they fly, Jim. For crying out loud, they're a lot heavier than air, but they go.
Well, I'll tell you, if I flew, my father had his own private little plane. But if I flew, I'd want to fly a biplane. I'd want hands on. I'd want the feeling of the experience of flying, and that's the way to get it.
There you go. All right, Jim. Thanks a lot.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. And we have to take a break here for Fox News at 580-5436-580-KIDO. Jason, hang on. We're going to grab you on the backside of that break. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. It's Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-KIDO is our number, 580-5436, and let's go to a very patient caller, Jason. Jason, thank you for hanging on. Go ahead, please.
Hi. First, I actually wanted to – I agree with everything you said about technology, and to expand on the previous caller, there was a marketing term that was born about 30 years ago, and it's called planned obsolescence.
Mm-hmm.
They design things to fail on purpose, so you have to keep buying new products from them. Like the iPhone 3 actually was fully capable of doing FaceTime and everything that the iPhone 4 supported, but the manufacturers locked those features out so you weren't allowed to use them. So that way, when they came out with the iPhone 4, everyone would go and upgrade and buy the new phone.
Right.
If you remember, I mean, I installed for DirecTV for 3 years, and I would go to people that were in their, 70s, about that generation. They had a TV in their living room that was 50 years old. And I'm like, yeah, we have HD, but you can't get it on this TV. And so I'm not going to buy a new TV. This one works great. Well, now you buy a TV, and 3 years it breaks. I've been lucky. Mine's lasted 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
My brother and my sister bought flat screens, and they both broke within 3 years. We had to go out and buy a new TV. They designed things to break on purpose. I bought a garbage can from Costco. It was $100. It was a stainless steel garbage can. It had a pedal. You push it, and the lid opens. And it has a pneumatic dampener so the lid closes real slow.
Mm-hmm.
It broke, and I took it all apart to fix it. And the entire thing was made of metal. The rods were metal. The pneumatic ram was metal. And the little thing that attached the ram to the lid was a real thin little plastic clip.
Hmm.
So it was made with great quality, and then it was designed to break. And you can't buy that clip, so you have to buy a new garbage can.
Right.
The thing I disagree with you on is you said we live in the most peaceful time in the world, and there's, like, you're talking about the media, all they're talking about is this plane that's missing, and there is a lot that's going on in this world that the U.S. media never talks about. You actually have to go, there's a lot of alternative media here in the U.S., but even they don't quite cover it all, and they don't quite cover it, as far as I can tell, honestly. It seems to me the mainstream media is just a distraction to deter people away from what's actually happening. But you go overseas and look at some of these other media agencies, they're reporting on more events that are happening in the U.S. than the U.S. media. But they also report on things overseas. There is one here in the U.S. called Storm Cloud Gathering, and they present a completely different side than what our media is telling us is what's happening. And they back it up with documents and video evidence that proves what they're saying is right. So our media is just outright lying to us, I think, to keep us distracted. Again, stuck in all this consumerism and technology where people are so worried about what's who's going to be on the next season of Dancing with the Stars. They're not paying attention to what's really happening and what's really important.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are so many more people in the world today that I'm just saying statistically we're about 1/355th less violent than ever in human history. So we just have an abundance of it, and I'm not saying there aren't problems, there isn't evil. I'm not saying that at all. It's not that we shouldn't be going after all of these problems. We should. We need to. And we need to stop evil wherever we can. That's not the point. The point is how the human brain works. Because why is this so important? It is so important for us to gather what is really relevant for us to be worried about. It's
right.
Especially when it comes to investing. People are running around all the time. They have for so many years. That they completely missed this, that Obama is this or that. That's fine. I think he's the worst president in my lifetime. There's no question. And Jimmy Carter was in my lifetime. I think question he was a horrible president. He doesn't lead at all. And Leon Panetta, who's a Democrat, doesn't think he leads. We all know that famously he's left the White House because he just couldn't get him to do anything. They won't do anything. They're all politicians. They certainly don't give a rip about what the results are to the United States of doing nothing. With ISIS leaving Iran, a vacancy there so ISIS can grow. All of these are massive problems just done by this president. But it doesn't stop business from being creative and innovating. But if our human brain is fixated, so that we all we see and all we read and go on blogs about how the world is ending, people won't invest. They won't start businesses, and they just watch the world go by, and they become more and more bitter and more certain in how right they are when they're not.
Right.
The world is an abundant place. It always has been. And that's why it's important for us to acknowledge and recognize that our own human condition says everything's dangerous, everything's bad. And that is exactly what humans were designed to do. And we have to fight that in a world that has really doesn't have any saber-toothed tigers left. It doesn't.
Right. I agree with you on that. But how the media is completely complacent with Obama and his actions. George Bush was in office. Everyone was, hey, get out of the wars, get out of the wars. And Obama's like, hey, we're still in the wars. And everyone's like, yeah, okay, it's okay, you're a Democrat.
Right.
Same thing with the economy. I mean, George Bush was, holy cow, he ran our national debt so high it was ridiculous. And in Obama's first 2 years, he spent more than every other president in the history of the United States.
I understand. I know. It's child's play compared, but comparatively. I get that. But that is what the biased media is. It is not a fact of us still. What I'm saying is it does not – that's wrong, and that steers us wrong, and we need to fight that. But that is not – you don't hunker down and say, because of that, I'm not going to invest, and I'm going to see the world as this horrible, awful thing that will not solve its own problems, and we will.
Right. I agree with you.
All right, Dave, thank you. I'm sorry, I've got to get rolling.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it, Jason. Thanks. And our number is 580-KIDO. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. Idaho's place to talk. Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-KIDO. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to George. George, thanks for calling.
Hi, good morning, Dave.
Hey.
Yeah, let me make a case for people who are asking questions. Evidently, you have a lot of people, your clients. You mentioned in the first hour that some of the smartest people that you know are your clients, and they're just raging successes in their fields of business.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that probably explains some of this. I almost got caught into that back in, well, you remember, 08 and 09. When it was the market, your 401k was a 201k. It was really a bad situation.
It was.
And I almost got sucked into that. In fact, I even called you and talked to y'all here about it.
Yeah.
I did, honestly, I did not recognize that what I was getting into was what you've been talking about, was these indexed, what is equity indexed annuities.
Right.
And so, you know, it's like it was calm desperation. Even my retirement account was being affected by this, and I had not experienced any problem with it at all. But still, it was a concern because it may be something in the future. But these folks, you know, that are asking questions about the annuities, you hear about it all the time on the radio. And you remember Michael Milken, you know, mm-hmm. the guy that invented the junk bond. And put Ted Turner in business with CNN.
Right.
It just may be that there's something that's been there all along, and some smart guy comes up, and nobody has recognized this before. That could be. These folks have lives to live, you know, doctors, lawyers, whatever, and they're experts in their field, but they don't know everything.
Right.
You're an expert in the field of finances, and so they want to go. They're smart. They want to go to somebody that really knows, you know, well, what about this? This looks like it may be a good deal. And so I could see why someone would do something like that. You know, just there's just the possibility that there's something that that everybody has overlooked all this time, and maybe this will save me out of this situation, or maybe it'll prevent something from happening in the future.
Exactly.
So I can see a reason for that. Really, it's kind of sad in a way, but then it's experience is a great teacher.
It certainly is. It certainly is. And, George, thank you so much. And thank you again for that tape on John and Chris. That was awesome. And if you want that back, we have that back, and it is on our website now. But I've got to go. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll look forward to talking with you live next week. Thanks for joining us.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk.
Money Matters is brought to you in part by Pezzo Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Pezzo, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Pezzo Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. These are the opinions of Dave Pezzo and are based on information from sources believed to be reliable but may change as information changes or becomes outdated. Nor should any opinion contained herein be construed or considered as a solicitation to buy or sell any particular investment product. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Asset allocation and diversification strategies cannot fully guarantee against loss. The past performance does not guarantee future results.